Please pray with me once again. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be a delight in your sight. God, you who are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. As I've mentioned in the past, communion was relatively infrequent in the church of my childhood, my rural Presbyterian church. We had it maybe 4 or 5 times a year at most. There was a special spirit of reverence during communion in that setting. I was always fascinated to watch my mother and my father as they would pass the trays of the little squares of kind of short cookie bread and the little cups of grape juice. There was a particular reverence during that communion, even growing up in that church. However, that spirit, as sincere as it was, cannot compare to the experience that I have grown to have of communion in metropolitan community churches. Now more than 35 years. And I recall one of those experiences very vividly. This is now 30 years or so ago when I was relatively new to MCC in Los Angeles, California, where I lived and was a member for a number of years. And at that time, the congregation was in the building that was on Hill Street in downtown Los Angeles. Anyone in this room familiar enough with LA or MCC history to know where Hill Street would have been in the 70s and 80s in Los Angeles? MCC Los Angeles, I almost said Portland, MCC Los Angeles's building was a big turn-of-the-century opera theater. It was in the, at that time, very run-down theater district. The theater next to it was, in fact, a porn theater. And it was only, didn't you know that? It's true, yeah. And it was only a few blocks away from what is still, I believe, Skid Row in downtown Los Angeles. So it was always a colorful and interesting experience to go to worship at MCC Los Angeles. It was just like one would expect from a turn-of-the-century opera theater. It was 2 stories high. It had a vaulted ceiling, and it had windows in the ceiling, and the light would come through, and there was a lot of gold-painted Baroque fixtures and velvet seats that had long since seen their prime. It had been a church before it was MCC Los Angeles, and I had not quite embraced what other people found as its beauty. I thought it was a little bit gaudy. But I remember one Sunday, not long after I had begun attending MCC Los Angeles, I had early been recruited to be an acolyte, someone who held the bread and cup of communion when someone else served. So that meant I was at the front of the sanctuary when people were coming forward for communion. And like a theater, the aisles were sloped towards the front. And I remember standing there with the bread and cup of communion in that theater, which never looked that beautiful to me. And as the sun filtered in through the ceiling, bathing everything in this kind of dusty, golden rays of light, and people began to come down the aisles for communion. Every race and class, age, alone, couples, small groups. It suddenly felt like a Michelangelo painting, with a queer twist, of course. Because for a moment in that space, it felt like it was suddenly a vision of the great cloud of witnesses that were gathering to receive the bread and cup In that moment, it felt it was not just communion for the people who I saw with my eyes in that room, but it extended across time and space, the thousands who had received communion in that space and the thousands more that would receive communion at MCC Los Angeles in its other buildings afterwards. It was this momentary glimpse of something transcendent and heavenly, that banquet that we are promised at the end of all things in God's presence. And it was a confirmation that God was really there if we just open our spiritual eyes to see. There is something unique about communion in MCC. Maybe it's the prayerful intimacy with which we serve it. Maybe it is our explicitly open invitation, I sometimes say our aggressively open invitation to communion. But I sincerely believe there's a transformative power, a spiritual power about communion in metropolitan community churches that is hard to grasp with words and is hard to experience in other places. And it is something that one can only grasp through experience. So it is absolutely fitting that MCC's new denominational statement of faith places our practice and our experience of communion as its very center of gravity. And it is something that I ask you to notice when we pray it together in a few minutes. It was a year ago this month, exactly a year ago this month, in Victoria, British Columbia, that a new MCC denominational statement of faith was adopted with virtual unanimity. It was a surprising and refreshing movement of the Spirit in a church conference, which was not always surprising and, well, surprising, but not always refreshing. After they had been convened and charged with their task in 2013, a group of six clergy and lay theologians drawn globally from MCC formed a commission on MCC's statement of faith. And they met monthly for more than 2 years, thanks to technology. They sent out two surveys to more than 7,000 people in MCC, 9 different newsletters, communications about their work, 4 different webinars. And at our conference a year ago, that statement of faith was introduced and discussed, and it was overwhelmingly adopted at this gathering of clergy and lay delegates from around the world, representing MCC in all of its countries. It was a glimpse of unity in diversity, something that is rare to see in perhaps any church. And it was one of the most remarkable movements of the Spirit I have ever experienced at an MCC conference. So this is the conclusion of 3 weeks where I'm reflecting on this new denominational statement of faith. We spent some time with it 2 weeks ago and last week, and we will read it together again this week as we conclude. In case you've not had the opportunity, there is a sheet in 2 sizes, regular size and larger size, that has the new denominational statement of faith passed a year ago, and on the reverse, our former statement of faith drawn from our bylaws, which was virtually unchanged since the 70s. And the former one, while it is very fine and respectable, it is frankly rather unremarkable, and it recapitulates a lot of doctrines found in creeds elsewhere. Our new statement of faith in MCC is intentionally non-traditional. It is intentionally poetic and evocative. It has an opening preamble, paragraph, and then the statement itself is written as a prayer. So when one reads or hears this new statement of faith, you can't help but notice a few unique and compelling turns of phrase. There will be echoes of scripture, as one would certainly expect. There are echoes of different traditional and not so traditional theological doctrines. So if you have questions about that, You'll notice at the bottom of the sheet there is the address for the study guide that gives you all of the theological background and deliberation on some of their choices. So for the theological geeks in the room, go there. You'll love it. Today, when we share it again, with all of those unique things, I want you to notice one unusually obvious detail. I want you to notice that the preamble, the opening paragraph, ends, and the statement of faith, the prayer statement of faith, begins with a repetition of the same phrase. The exact same phrase, come taste and see. Come, taste, and see. At its center, the hub around which the whole thing revolves, its core, it affirms what MCC has experienced from the very start. Now, after 35 years in MCC, I have been intimately involved with, I think, 7 congregations. I've visited dozens of others in 5 countries on 3 different continents, and all of them are different. All of them are different from one another. And communion, even though different churches in MCC distribute it differently, some do it as we do, many do it as we do, individuals receiving a prayer blessing, some do group blessings, some people separate receiving the bread and cup from the prayer of blessing. However they do it differently, in every MCC, one thing has been familiar to me. It is a uniquely powerful spiritual encounter that happens. It is in our DNA, which you can hear in that excerpt from the autobiography by Troy Perry, the founder of MCC. In that passage, he describes, there's a longer excerpt, of course, where he describes the very first worship service at Metropolitan Community Church on October 6, 1968, in the living room of the small pink house that he shared with Willie Smith in Huntington Park, California. I said that all in one breath. Woo! Yeah, okay. He had run an ad in 1968, when it was still criminal to be a homosexual. He ran an ad with their address and phone number, inviting people to come to the very first worship service of MCC. And in his autobiography, he describes it, and the excerpt we hear describes his reflection on how they ended up doing communion. He preached, he shut his Bible, he then said, we're going to have open communion. Now, a couple things about that. If you have ever met Reverend Troy Perry, you know he is from a Pentecostal background, even 50 years of MCC experience. Some of that is hardwired, and it's amazing and exciting to experience his presence. He is from a Pentecostal background, and communion, certainly they never would have called it Eucharist, was not a regular part of that worship practice in his tradition. Certainly they would have had the Lord's Supper on different occasions, but not regularly. And his tradition would not have had a, quote, high or sacramental theological view of the Eucharist, like some of our backgrounds. And it is clear he had prepared in advance to offer communion that very first Sunday. But the decision to offer it as open communion was spontaneous. In the moment, a movement of the Holy Spirit that perhaps only a Pentecostal could have done. And it is that practice that continues uninterrupted in every MCC now more than 49 years, in more than 300 churches, depending upon when you're counting, and nearly 40 countries in the world. Weekly communion, by the way, is the only worship practice that is mandated by our denominational bylaws. We in MCC have embraced our experience of communion as central to who we are as MCC. And even though we may differ in personal opinions about what happens to the bread and the cup and what it might mean, we affirm that it has a unique power in our lives, a power that is amplified by our strong affirmation, our aggressively open communion invitation. Perhaps it's because we, as a people, so many in MCC, for whatever reason, have experienced being excluded from places and things, particularly sacred things. Or we may have been taught, for whatever reason, that somehow God does not welcome us as our authentic selves to be that intimate with us. I remember Reverend Joseph Gilbert. Anyone here remember that person or that name? Yeah, probably just Betty and Dave. Yeah, now of blessed memory, a wonderful soul and pastor of Metropolitan Community Churches. He pastored a small MCC in Silver Lake, California when I lived there, and I would often worship with them because they worshiped in the evening. And one of the things I first saw done by Reverend Gilbert when he celebrated communion, nothing particularly atypical about how that happened, but at the end of the communion distribution, as we do now, you will notice that the person who is the celebrant, the person who says the words and breaks the bread and pours the cup, at the end will consume a portion of that for themselves. Some traditions insist that all of what's left over must be consumed. We consume symbolically here. And when Reverend Joseph Gilbert consumed at the end of communion, it was the first time I ever heard someone do this. As he consumed at the end, he said, "And I now receive this in memory of all those to whom it had been refused, and for all those who never received because they believed they were unworthy." That's an MCC thing. Whether we say it out loud, we know it to be true. You know, MCC is not the only church that practices open communion. We're just kind of pushy about it, I think. Because we know how transformative that is. Somehow the soul of MCC has been gripped by it. And the importance of communion in MCC confounds logic in some ways. Less than 50 years old, we were founded to reach and serve people whom the church had underserved and rejected at that time: lesbian, gay, bi, and trans folks. Unlike other longer-standing traditions, we weren't founded because we had a particular theological argument other than the exclusion of queer people. And that has allowed us for a great internal theological diversity. It is a great gift for some of us and a consternation for others, we'll say. And unlike other traditions, we are not going to engage in a war over what does or doesn't happen at this table, or with the bread, with or without gluten, or the cup, grape juice fermented or not. We in MCC long ago decided it's God's job, not ours, to take care of all of that. Amen. We do say God is present. If you ask us how, if you ask us why, or you ask us, well, what about this, that, or the other? Our answer is, come taste and see. You ask, our answer is, come taste and see. It's like that scene from the Gospel of John that we hear. Those two followers of John the Baptizer who began to trail after Jesus. Jesus turns and asks them, what are you looking for? And they respond, where are you staying? A little curious response. But then Jesus simply says, come and see. Come and see. In the other Gospels, the invitation is, follow me. In every case, Jesus did not ask them to recite a creed or to learn a catechism, what is the end of man, or to take a theological pop quiz, how many of the Ten Commandments can you remember? Bam! No, that is not what happened. It was the invitation. Discipleship began with that encounter, that experience, a bodily experience, which preceded their belief. Those early followers surely had questions. We get to hear some of them in the Gospels. They may even have had objections. We get to hear some of those too. Well, I don't know. What does it all mean? You know, it's like those of us, I count myself among them, some of you are like this, like to do all the background research before we make the decision. We like to look before we leap. This invitation confronts us. Follow me. Come and see. Without prior explanation. Try it first. We'll talk about it later. Come taste and see. And the experience changes us. Come taste and see. Our lived bodily experience in MCC is the core of what we say we believe, and it has changed now how it is we articulate our faith to the world. I am proud to be part of a church that is willing and able to revisit its statement of faith. It tells me I am part of people whose hearts are more committed to living their beliefs rightly than committed to specific words to describe their beliefs. It's healthy to revisit faith. It's life-giving because it is part and parcel of paying attention to what God is doing in your life and our lives. It's life-giving because it's how we keep believing anew. I'd ask you now to pray and read with me aloud our preamble and our statement of faith. This week, we have three groups of prayers and some individual voices. So I will be one voice. Let's see, let's do right down here through the middle. Let's have this as group A. You'll be voice A when you see the responsive reading. Look at that. It's up on the screen. That's going to be you. Let's have this slice, and in the back, if you can see it, group B, or you can do whatever you want to back there. Careful, because I can see what you're doing. Okay, so group B, and this group will be C when we do A, B, C. Okay? And let's just pay attention once again to those words that strike us. Metropolitan Community Churches is one chapter in the story of the church, the body of Christ. B. Oh, there. Okay. Let's take a breath. Okay, let's take a breath. B. And yet, in the midst of our diversity, we build community grounded in God's radically inclusive love for all people. Building on those who have come before us. Our chapter begins when God says, come taste and see.
Come, taste and see. Jesus Christ, you invite all people to your open table.
You make us your people. Baptized and filled with your Holy Spirit, you empower us to be your healing presence in a hurting world. Therefore, we will actively resist systems and structures which are destroying your creation.
With all of creation, we worship you.
Every tribe, every language, every people, every nation, we know you by many names, triune God, beyond comprehension, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, who invites us to the feast. Amen.